Well, good morning, good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Who's got their Christmas tree down?
Nope.
A few of you? Oh, just a few of you, eh? Some of you keeping the holidays going into January. Why not, right? There's always those people who keep their Christmas lights on outside, like all year long, like in July. Like they either really love Christmas or they really don't like taking their lights down. If that's you, we love you, but it's a little strange. So there was this mother who had three boys who grew up to become very successful, very wealthy in their own businesses, in their own careers. And they were grown up and wanted to just thank their mother for all the great things that she had done, taking care of them and raising them. And it was Christmas time, so they wanted to get her a big gift. And so the oldest son got their mother a big house. The middle son got their daughter a brand new car. And the third son, he knew how much his mom loved reading the Bible, but she was having trouble seeing in her old age. And so he got her a parrot that knew how to recite the entire Bible. You could give the chapter, verse, book reference, and the parrot would repeat the Bible to you. And so the mom was writing a thank you card. She just wrote one card to all three boys, thanking them for their gift. She thanked the first son for the house, said, "But honestly, you know, it's kind of too big for me. I don't really know what I'm going to do with all this space." To the second son, she said, "Thanks so much for the car, you know, but it's a little bit too low to the ground. It's not easy to get into. It's not very comfortable. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to keep that for too long. But to my youngest boy, thank you so much for the chicken. It was delicious." Okay, so we branded today Name the Year Sunday. And I didn't do it out of a marketing ploy or, you know, a creative way of trying to start the new year. This wasn't something that I planned on doing, but kind of me responding to what I believe the Lord put on my heart for 2020. Vision is important, and there's all sorts of people right now who are making New Year's resolutions, and they're, you know, thoroughly examining every gym membership card that's come in the mail and discerning which one to go to for 2 days and then never go back again. Everybody's trying to rethink their life, right? There's just this automatic thing that happens at the beginning of the year where you're kind of reevaluating life, looking back at a year gone, looking forward at a year ahead, and just kind of resetting your heart and mind. And whether or not you do New Year's resolutions, I think it's a healthy thing to make plans for the year ahead, to make decisions, to have a fresh perspective on certain things in your life. And vision's important. The Bible says, without vision, the people perish. And we know that verse. We often say it. And yet it's important to know that the kind of vision that is being discussed there is not some, you know, again, brainstormed, well-thought-through statement that came out of a planning room. Okay? The kind of vision that the Bible is talking about there is a God-given vision. It's something where God has said, this is the trajectory that I want you to focus on. This is the season of life that I have you in. It's a God-given vision, and you and I need a God-given vision for our life. We don't need a good idea, we need a God idea. It's not about, you know, what can we come up with in our own thinking. It's about having a vision from God. And when you lose vision, the Bible says, then you end up heading towards death, right? When you lose vision for your marriage, when you don't see a future for your marriage, that's the day that your marriage dies. When you don't see a future for your place of work, that's when your love for your job, your career, that's when that starts to die. When you don't have a vision for your finances, then you start overspending and being wasteful with your money. Vision is important. And right now, we're in the midst of a very important season as a church family. This is our 85th year as a church. 85 years of being a part of this great city and serving the community and being used by God in different areas locally and nationally and internationally. 85 years. And yet, the way that I'm approaching this year is as if this were year number one. If we were starting fresh, if this was a brand new church plant, what is it We're asking this very basic question. What is it that God is calling us to do as a church family? And we started this several months ago with our vision nights, where we've been inviting members to come and have conversations focused around this question. What is God calling us as a church family to do? There's lots of churches in Niagara, lots of ministries in Niagara, lots of great things happening. But what we want to know is, what is God calling us to do? And we're going to continue having more vision nights in the coming months with our members. But basically, what the heart of those vision nights was, a call to prayer, where we who call this church our home would make it a priority to pray that God would speak clearly and give us his vision for the future. I want to be intentional this morning about extending that invitation to you, that if you, maybe you're not a member, but you're here and you call this your church, your spiritual home, that I want to call you to prayer and to pray that God would speak and be the primary voice that is heard as we go into the future. We know that Jesus is coming back soon, amen? Like real soon. Like I might not finish this sermon. Like seriously. We need to live with an awareness that Jesus is coming back soon. We might not see all of 2020. But we might, and we might not only see this year, we might have another 85 years as a church. We don't know. We know it's soon, but soon is, how many of you understand soon is relative? Like when your kid asks for a snack and you say sometime soon, it's relative, right? You'll get something, you know, now or in 2023. It's coming. We're in a very important season as a church family. We just came out of an amazing year where we have paid off a tremendous amount of debt. We went in 1 year from nearly $500,000 in debt to now about $70,000 in debt. That's cause to get excited, right? We're on track to be completely debt-free just by making regular payments every week. We're on track to be debt-free by the end of 2021. I believe that it could happen this year. So shameless plug for the church family. If you want to continue to give to the debt, you can do that because we signed an open loan. We can pay it off. As soon as we pay it off, it's done. And so I believe that 2020, we're going to be debt-free because I believe that God's going to bring in more than enough for what we need. I say all that to say that 2020 is a big year. It's a big year for us as a church. And since we are the church, that means it's a big year for you. It's a big year for your household. And back in September of 2019, I felt the Lord speak very clearly to me about 2020. And I wasn't setting aside time to try and specifically hear from God. I wasn't saying, okay, God, you know, I'm spending some time in prayer now and I want you to give me a sermon for the new year. Give me vision for the new year. I wasn't asking God for anything, but I find sometimes God speaks the clearest when you're not specifically asking the question. I don't know about you. That's just how God tends to work with me, is that God tends to just speak to me, not when I'm specifically, you know, fasting or praying, but just in an average everyday moment. And he actually spoke this word to me when I was where I often am when I hear the Lord speak to me about the church, and that's in our Wednesday prayer meeting. And if you haven't been a part of our midweek prayer meetings, Wednesdays or Fridays, then I'm telling you, you're missing out. We spend time praying over needs, praying over the sick, praying over things in our country, in our community, in our nation, in the world. And I find it's when someone's praying in the room, someone else is praying, not me, for someone else in the room or someone else in the hospital who's sick, I find that God speaks to me. Nothing to do about what is happening in that prayer that's being spoken, but God starts speaking to me. And there's something powerful about corporate prayer and seeking the Lord together. I couldn't tell you how many of my messages were birthed in a midweek prayer meeting. I often tell people at the prayer meeting, if you open your eyes to look at me and I'm on my phone, I'm not texting, okay? It's God starting to speak to me and I've got to write it down. So this is the word that the Lord gave me for 2020 back in September. You ready? 2020 is going to be a year when you do more than you've ever done before. More opportunities realized, more projects completed, more disciples made, more leaders raised, more money coming in, more money going out, More people brought to Christ, more people sent out to the missions field, more scriptures studied, more scriptures lived. 2020 is going to be the year of more. I have such an excitement in my heart that God is gonna do big things this year. And it's rooted in this, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who was able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. We serve a God who is able to do far more than anything you could ever imagine, anything you could ever ask for, any prayer that you could ever lift up to him and say, God, I need provision. God, I need healing. God, I need a breakthrough. Anything that you could think of praying, God can do better than that. There is not a single need in this house, in your house, in this nation, or in this world that God can't handle. There is no sickness too scary for God. There is no financial need too big for God. There is no property that's too expensive for God. You will never hear God say, that's out of my price range. He's always got more than enough. And I believe that 2020 is going to be a year of more. And obviously, you know, this is our second service, so I preached this in the first service, and I got to tell you this story. So I'm out in the foyer after first service, and a gentleman comes up to me and says, can I show you something I got for Christmas? Can I show it to you? Is it right here? I don't know if you can see that. That's a keychain, okay, that his wife got him. It says more. They both got each other a gift that had an inscription on it. They didn't know what it was going to be. She got him a keychain that had more inscribed into it. Without knowing that that was the word that she was putting on his, he got her a plaque with the word more inscribed on it for Christmas. So Christmas Day, they're like, whoa, mind blown. Then they come to church this morning and they're like, whoa, mind blown. I'm telling you, God is up to something this year. And we don't look, we don't look for signs and keychains, okay? So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We build our, okay? Don't go out to like the mall and look at keychains for like what's, you know, like we don't find our fortune in fortune cookies, amen? I'm simply showing that because I think that that's just a cool confirmation. We build our faith in the word of God, and Ephesians 3:20 is true yesterday, today, and forever. God is able to do far more abundantly, and I believe that this year that verse is going to stand just as true. Okay, if you have your Bibles, open with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, Matthew, Mark, Luke, if you start in the New Testament. And we're going to read a story about Jesus preaching to a crowd. And what happens after that? Luke chapter 5, if you don't have your Bibles, this will be up on the screen. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him, that's a great typo right there. That's some fine typingmanship on my part. Who types these things up? Oh yeah, that's me. For him and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken in. And also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is early on in Jesus' ministry. We don't know how much people in this crowd knew about Jesus, although I will suggest it's safe to assume they probably didn't know he was a miracle worker, because once Jesus is more and more known, the more that you read into the Gospels and into Jesus's life, one of the primary motives why people went to Jesus was for healing, right? They'd bring their sick friends, they'd bring their sick family. Here, it tells us why they came to see Jesus. In verse 1, we read it. They were pressing in on him to hear the word of God. Verse 1, okay? Their primary motive was in hearing the word of God, so they must have really only thought about Jesus as a teacher, as a rabbi. He's someone who preaches really good sermons. And I would like to propose to you right from the start that if you want to see God do more in your life, you ought to start with a greater hunger for the word of God. If you want to see more prayers answered, the best thing to do is not get hungry for God to answer more prayers, but to get hungry for the word of God. Amen. If you want to get hungry for God to provide for your financial needs, your best thing to do is not to spend more time looking at your financial spreadsheet. The best thing for you to do is get more hungry for the word of God. You want to see miracles? Get hungry for the word. That's where we start here. So Jesus puts some distance between him and the crowd so he can speak to everybody. He gets into a boat, goes out a little bit into the water so he can see the people and address the people. And we don't know what Jesus preached. We don't know. Luke doesn't record it. We can assume it's good, because how can Jesus preach a bad sermon, right? It's probably good. But we don't know, because Luke doesn't tell us. All he tells us is what happens after the sermon. So Jesus finishes his sermon. He turns to Simon Peter, who owned the boat that he was sitting in, and he said, "Let's go fishing." Okay? Now, to some of you, that sounds exciting, right? Anybody enjoy fishing? Yeah, okay, 7 of you. If you enjoy fishing, right, that's an exciting thing. You'd think, how could you end a Sunday service any better? Listen to a great sermon and then go fishing with Jesus. Like, that's just like the best day ever, okay? Now, I enjoy fishing just as much as I like watching the grass grow, okay? So, not my idea of fun. Maybe it's yours, it's not mine. Peter, maybe he enjoyed fishing, but here's what you have to remember. This was not a leisurely activity for Peter. This was work. He was a fisherman. So let me give you some context. Peter was just getting off of a long shift. Peter was hungry. Peter wanted to go home and eat breakfast with his wife. Peter is just leaving work. Jesus shows up and says, "Let's go fishing." Okay, so I want to give you some context. Imagine Jesus shows up at your place of work as you're leaving work. And he doesn't say, "Hey, you want to go fishing?" He says to you, "Let's go back inside and crunch some more numbers. Let's go back inside and look at the quarterlies again. Let's go back inside. There's some emails that we got to get to," okay? Not an exciting thought for Peter. And so, that Peter wouldn't have been too excited about Jesus' proposition. And he was probably a little bit offended at Jesus, thinking, you know, "You're a great preacher, you know, but no offense, you don't know how to fish. Because if you knew how to fish, you'd go fishing late at night, or early in the morning. You don't go in the middle of the morning. You don't go after you've preached a sermon in the middle of the morning, back out fishing into the same lake where Peter fished all night long and caught nothing." So Peter must have been thinking, "I respect you as a teacher, but as a fisherman, I don't really think this is a great idea." Because Peter knew the right time for fishing. And yet I would like to propose to you that if Jesus ever says it's time to go fishing, it's time to go fishing. How many of you would rather have Jesus' results than Peter's results? Peter worked hard. You say, how many of you would in the room say, "I work hard"? Yeah, I work hard. And I work long hours and long shifts. And you know, sometimes we get nothing done. I work hard for what I have. And Jesus steps in. And I'm telling you, if Jesus says that it's the right time for something, it's the right time for something. God might call you to do something at an unusual time. But if he tells you to do it, it's the right time. It might not seem like the right time to sell your house, but I'm telling you, if God speaks to you in 2020 and tells you to sell your house, it's time to sell your house. And it might not seem like the right time to start that new business or go back to school or have that child, but if God tells you to do it, I'm telling you, it's time to do it. God just might call you to do some unusual things in 2020, and I just want to start off by saying, are you ready to say yes to Jesus? This might be the year where things finally turn around for you and some people in the house become debt-free. Anybody be excited? If 2020 was a debt-free year, come on. What if God in 2020 was going to completely heal that sickness that you've been praying for healing for? What if God was going to finally allow you to conceive that child you've been believing for? Come on, God is the God who does more than enough. You know, we got 6 pregnant ladies in the house. 6. Talk about the year of more. 6 babies being born in 2020 in this church family. And if you want to prophesy, you know, we can double that if you want, you know, depending how many. Just prophesy over yourself first. Be careful. I'm not saying I know the perfect timing of God. I'm not standing up here saying that I know what 2020 is going to look like for you specifically. I'm saying that I do know that God has good things in store for you this year. And I'm saying I do know that if you will attach your heart and your mind to the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that says God is the God who does more beyond anything that we could ever ask, think, or imagine, that I believe that God's going to do more than anything you could ever ask, think, or imagine. Instead of Jesus saying to Peter, let's go fishing, he might be saying to you this year, let's apply for that job. Let's go to seminary. Let's go on that missions trip. Let's get that promotion. Let's get you that girlfriend you've been praying for 17 years. Come on, there's something in here for all y'all. Now, that's only for the single guys in the room, okay? You got to be careful. So Jesus says this, verse 4. These are his instructions to Peter. Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Jesus does not say, put out into the deep and let down your nets and let's try to catch some fish. Jesus does not say, let's see what happens. Jesus says, if you put your nets in the water, we're going to catch some fish. Now, this is very important. Because sometimes when a word is spoken, whether it be something that, you know, we believe is a word from God or a prophetic word or something along those lines, we can get the impression that since it's God's words being spoken and since it's him who's going to make it happen, then we don't really have a role to play. And so 2020 can be the year where I sit on my couch and eat cheesies, but God's going to do more. Because God's just going to do it anyways. So why do I need to pray and why do I need to read my Bible and I need to go to church and I need to share my faith? I don't need to go and catch men. I don't need to go make disciples because God's just going to bless me this year. No. This is very important. Jesus looks at Peter and says, if you want to catch some fish, put your net in the water. You have a role to play. You have a responsibility. If you want God to do great things for you in 2020, then you're going to have to put your net in the water. You're going to have to actually start taking responsibility for your life and start moving in some areas that God's been calling you to. Maybe 2020 is not going to be this year where all of a sudden God wants to do all these things in your life, but it's going to be the year where we finally obey him and he's able to give us the breakthrough. Oh, that was just for you folks here at 11:15. Somebody needed that. Here's what I believe we learn here from Jesus' words. Read it again. Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. The implication is this. If you do, it will work. If you don't, it won't. If you say, listen, Jesus, I like your preaching. I don't like your fishing advice. I'm going home. You're not going to catch the fish. If you say, here's my net. I know I've cleaned it, but I'm willing to do what it takes. I'm going to obey you. I believe you're going to experience more in 2020 than you've ever seen before. The end of the story is this. It is up to you whether or not you let down your nets for a catch. Do not wait 12 months from now and shrug your shoulders and cross your arms and look back and say, well, God didn't do it for me. Don't read the Bible and read the promises of God, and when you don't get the prayer that you prayed for and you quoted the right Bible verse, don't cross your arms and say, well, it didn't work for me. I tried it and it didn't work. I guess I'll just keep trying and No, let's start off the year by building our faith in the fact that our God is a God of miracles. And if I believe that if we press into him and let down our nets for a catch, here's what I believe. Call me crazy. I believe we're going to catch something. I know the battle that we face. We get excited about a coming year. We get excited about a new start. We get excited about the thought of God answering prayers. But then we start to rationalize. And when we rationalize, we ration lies. We give portions, bite-sized lies that we repeat to ourselves. So instead of believing, instead of leaving this place believing that 2020 is going to be a year where every sickness in my family is gone and healing comes, instead of believing that, we start to say, well, yeah, but you know, I just know so many sick people and we prayed before and it didn't work, and we rationalize. I'll never fulfill that call that God's put on my life because it's not my gifting, it's not my resources, I don't have enough money, I don't have the connections. Fear creeps in and we don't want to get our hopes up. As Christians, many Christians don't want to get their hopes up because they're worried of what will happen if God doesn't come through. Well, I don't want to get too excited because what if God doesn't come through? What if it doesn't work? Listen to what Simon Peter said. Verse 5, Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing. Jesus wants to go fishing. Peter says, Jesus, we just fished all night long in that water. There's no fish. There's no fish. I worked hard. I prayed hard. I read the Bible. I went to Bible studies. I tithed. I served at the church and I prayed and I didn't get my, it doesn't work. Okay, these are the ways that we ration lies. We rationalize in our own thinking. I went fishing at the right time of day. We worked hard. We put in a whole shift's worth of hours and it doesn't work. What's Peter doing? He's protecting his pride. And we do this all the time, don't we? God, I tried so hard. I prayed so hard. I quoted 27 scriptures and I tried. I worked. I'm working by the sweat of my brow. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do because of the fall? Aren't I supposed to work by the sweat of my brow? I've been toiling. This is what Peter says. I've been toiling. No, did you know that Jesus came and redeemed you from the curse of the law so that you don't have to toil anymore? Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to work. I believe that the church ought to be the most diligent, thorough, hardworking group of people on planet Earth. But we don't have to have that. The results that we gain should not be in direct correlation to the work that we put into it. The results that we gain should be a result of the goodness of God chasing after us. If all we ever get out of life is based on what we put into it because we worked so hard, then we are creating no room for God to move. I can picture Jesus looking at Peter as he says, I've been toiling all night long. I can picture Jesus saying, how's that working for you? Let me ask us in the room, how's that working for you? How's that working for you? I've been trying, I've been praying, I've been reading, I'm trying to trust God. But then I believed that it would happen and it didn't. How's that working for you? Here's what Peter says in verse 5. Some of the wisest words you would ever speak to Jesus. But at your word, I will let down the nets. Jesus, I don't believe you. I don't really trust you. I don't think you know how to fish. I don't think you've ever caught a fish in your life. But if you tell me to go fishing, I'm going fishing. This is speaking honestly to Jesus and being able to say, I don't know that I fully believe that you're going to do what your word says that you're going to do. I don't fully trust that we're going to experience that breakthrough, that turnaround, that healing, but at your word, I'm going to obey you. It is far better to obey God with doubt than to risk disobeying God because of doubt. Let me say that again. It is far better to obey God with doubt than to risk disobeying God because of doubt. Folks, no matter how much faith you say you have, you all still have doubts from time to time. Any human beings in the room? We could say, I believe in God, I believe in provision, I believe in prayer, I believe in the power of prayer. That's got to be one of the most elementary statements that a child of God can say. I believe in the power of prayer. And yet, if we're honest, a lot of us, parentheses, all of us, sometimes when we pray, don't honestly believe that God will do what we asked him to do. Am I telling the truth? Yeah. It is better to say with honesty, God, I don't know if you're going to do this, but because your word tells me that I can have it, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to put my trust in you. In the natural, I honestly don't know if you're going to do what the word says you're going to do, but I'm going to choose to obey you anyways. Peter says, at your word, I'll let down the nets. So Peter let down the nets. And I'm telling you, no sooner did those nets hit the brink of the water than every fish in the immediate proximity of that lake jumped into that net. Jumped. Now, is it because Jesus knew a secret fishing spot? No. Did Jesus have this like secret place? Like, oh, I know where all the fish are in the water. And so, you know, Peter, you just missed a spot. It was over here. If you would have just worked another 3-hour shift, you would have found it. No, there is no secret spot where all the fish were. This was a matter of all creation listens to Jesus. All of creation listens to the word of God. And the moment that Jesus said, Peter, let down your nets for a catch, every fish in the immediate proximity of that net said, sir, yes, sir. Their flippers went up and they went like this and they said, sir, yes, sir. Come on. You don't believe me. I'll prove it to you. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. Shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Folks, every time Jesus speaks, all of creation responds. It's Sunday, right? Is it Sunday? If Jesus showed up and said it's Tuesday, it would now be Tuesday. Whatever Jesus says is true. The moment that he said, let your nets down for a catch, every fish said, sir, yes, sir, I'm coming your way. How many of you, again, would rather have Jesus' results than Peter's? See, this is what happens when you put God's word in your mouth. So they called over James and John. Let's start here, verse 6. When they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. Verse 7, they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled their boats so that they began to sink. So they call over their partners and they get their nets out. They started just with a few nets. Now they're bringing out more nets and they're bringing it and they're emptying it into the boat and they're bringing up more fish and they're emptying it into the boat and they're bringing up more fish and they're emptying it into the boat and their nets are starting to break and their boats are starting to sink. They'd caught more fish in this moment than they had ever seen before all at once. In the very same place where Peter caught nothing, Jesus enabled him to catch more than enough. In the very same place where Peter worked for hour after hour after hour after hour and got zero results, in a single moment of God's timing, they had more than enough. I don't know about you, but sometimes there are certain seasons of life where you feel like you're trying and trying and trying and working and working and working and you get no results. I believe that this is a year where God's timing is going to touch that circumstance and bring change. Folks, I'm here to remind you that our God is a God who can bring net-breaking, boat-sinking results into your life. He's the God of more than enough. It's who he is. And you might feel like you're making progress and you're moving ahead and little by little, year after year, you're doing well and your family's doing well and money's going well and your business is going well. That progress compared to what God can do is still nothing. Sometimes we can get a little bit too sure of ourselves and we cut God out of the picture and say, I'm good. Things are good. Things are going well. And I'm glad that they are if that's true for you. But if you would invite God in to do more, I believe that you would see more of his faithfulness in this year ahead. God has more in store for you than you could ever imagine. John 10:10. I know you know it well. Listen with fresh ears from a fresh translation. The thief has only one thing in him. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. Let me ask you if you have a hope in your heart of something that you would want God to do this year. Whether it's relating to your family, relating to some sins in your past that you feel are holding you back, whether you feel that it's healing in your body, new job, new circumstances, whatever hope that you have for this year, and I want to remind you that God can do more than that. He can do better than that. He can do bigger than that. We serve a God who does more than enough in everything that he does. Look at the story of Job in the Old Testament. Job's a guy who experienced John 10:10 pretty well, don't you think? The enemy came, and what did he do? Steal, kill, and destroy. He lost his cattle. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. His family was pretty much all, and his wealth was all taken away from him, except for his wife, which you'd think would be a blessing, but I think it was rather a curse. Don't get angry at me. Read the story. Job's wife, I believe Satan left her there to help him. Satan, not Job. She said, why don't you just curse God and die? How's that for a nice wife? Why don't you just abandon everything that you believe and die? Okay, I hope that you don't speak to each other with such words. Okay, he loses everything. And God could have restored back to him everything that he lost, but he ended up giving him twice as much as he started with. See, when God restores things, he doesn't just make it like back to where it was. He improves upon it. He gives it to you in a better condition than you had in the first place. When God introduced himself to Abraham in Genesis 17, he introduced himself with a name that nobody had ever heard before. He said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. That's the name that he gave himself. And we know that Hebrew word El Shaddai, we translate it to mean God Almighty, but the actual reference that El Shaddai is referring to is a nursing mother's breast. God was telling Abraham, just as a mother cares for and nourishes and provides for and feeds a baby, I am your provider. I am your source. And if you know anything about nursing moms, you know they always have more than enough milk for their babies. It's not just enough. It's not like you know the baby's done feeding because the milk stops. There's more than enough to feed the babies. God has more than enough for you. And we've had a poverty mindset in the church that God will just give us what we need and no more. He'll just give us enough to get by. I'm telling you, we serve a God who gives more than enough. We serve a God who wants to give you more than what you need. If all God ever did was meet our needs, we would never have enough to be generous and give to others. If all we could do is pay our bills, we could never be a blessing to someone else. And yet how many people, religious people, loving Jesus, they pray prayers like this, God, just meet my needs, that's all I want. I don't need anything big, just meet my needs. Can I tell you something? That's a selfish prayer to pray. You ought to pray for more than enough. And if you don't want to keep it, give it to me. Because I'll find some good things to do with it. Let me give you another one here. Exodus 36. There's this time in the history of the people of Israel where they were building a tabernacle for the Lord, and the people were sacrificially giving of their time, talents, resources, finances, so that they could build this beautiful tabernacle, this place where God could dwell. Listen to this. And they received from Moses all the contributions that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work of the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him freewill offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, and said to Moses, the people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave commandment, and a word was proclaimed through the camp. Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution of the sanctuary. So the people were refrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. This is every pastor's fantasy, that there would be so much provision to do everything that the Lord had called them to do. That we could you imagine a pastor, a ministry leader standing up and saying, attention everybody, we need to get the word out. We need you to do something for us. Stop giving us money. Seriously, this is in the Bible. The God that we serve is such that he will not just give enough, he'll give more than enough. He will not just let you barely get by, he wants you to have more than enough. Our God's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Simon Peter would have never imagined that such a catch of fish was possible. And yet here he was, sitting in a boat filled with fish, sinking. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in a boat filled with fish sinking, I would get out of the boat and swim to land. Get me out of here, right? I don't want to drown. What does Peter do? He gets closer to the water. He kneels down. And you can almost see the fish like slapping him in the face, right? He gets down on his knees and he repents to Jesus. He says, forgive me. Forgive me. Why does Peter repent? Peter repents because, like you and I, after we receive a miracle or an answered prayer, in hindsight, we realize how little faith we had in Jesus. Amen. Don't pretend that you're so holy, you're so righteous, you're so faithful, that every time you pray that you're like, I was just 100% certain that God was, I just knew that God was going to do this and he was going to do it within the next 32 minutes. I just have faith in God. No, usually when the prayer gets answered, we all kind of go, whew, I didn't know. I hoped, I prayed, I wanted to believe. I believe we would all do well if we started this year with a fresh repentance to God and got on our knees and said, Jesus, help us have faith in you, because I want miracles this year. I want to see blind eyes open this year. I want to see the crippled walk this year. I want to see cancer victims, stage 4 cancer, completely healed, set free. I want to see it. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for it. But I'm going to start off the year by repenting and saying, Jesus, I don't always believe. Anybody with me? Here's my heart that I want to lay before you as a church family. I believe this year we're going to see more stories of life transformation. More people set free from the sins of their past. More supernatural provision and debt cancellation. More testimonies of provision. I believe that we're going to see more marriages healed. And I actually believe that we're going to see divorced couples get remarried because of such radical healing in human hearts. And I believe we're going to see more sick people healed than we've ever seen before. I believe our God heals the sick. I'm confident that every person in this room has someone in their life that they know that's sick. We've got people in this church family that are in the hospital right now or at home sick, need a touch from the Lord. People in my family that are sick need a touch from the Lord. I believe we're going to see more healings this year. You know what we're going to do? We're going to pray for more healings. We're going to extend our faith to God and say, God, do what you do. Jesus came to this earth and he did 2 things, preached, healed. Let's have some of that this year. Why would God do such a thing? Because that's the God we serve. Do not let bad experiences and things that have let you down in the past, do not let that shape your view of God. Let me help you. Let this shape your view of God. I am the Lord that heals you. I am your provider. Do not let unanswered prayers take away your faith. Build your faith on God's word. Jesus says this to Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. See, the fish wasn't the point of the story. Fish, exciting. Provision, exciting. Money, exciting. But that's never the point. The point is always people. Don't get too excited about the financial provision and the job and the debt free. Don't get too excited about that. Throw a party and celebrate. That's good stuff. God wants to bless you, provide for you, all that stuff. That's good stuff. But the big stuff is people. Let's not spend all our prayers talking about money and jobs and things that are just peripherals. Let's pray for the lost to know Jesus this year. Let's pray for more disciples. I believe we're going to have a wave of disciples and new leaders raised up in this church this year. Strong leaders that we're going to start to see raised up so that we can be planting churches in the future. How exciting is that? I believe that people need to be the focus of our prayers and not the fish. So he says, you're going to start catching men from now on. And this is how the story ends. Listen to this, verse 11. And when they had brought their boats to land, nearly sinking with fish, They left everything and followed Jesus, including the fish. So let me start the year by asking you a question. Are you willing to leave everything to follow Jesus? God gives you something new, something bright, something shiny. God gives you that big house you've been praying for, believing for, wanting, having your heart set on. God gives you a brand new big old house. Are you willing to leave it if Jesus calls you to leave it? They left everything. Why? Because they realized that the fish weren't worth following. Jesus was worth following. The answered prayer, folks, don't build your life on answered prayers. I said before, don't build your life on unanswered prayers. Don't build your faith on the time that it didn't work. But here's the other side of that. Don't build your faith on the time that it did work. Don't build your faith on the time where you did pray and you got the prayer answered. Build your faith on Jesus and follow him everywhere he goes. Because wherever Jesus is, there's lots of fish. Don't follow the fish, follow Jesus. Don't follow the job, follow Jesus. Don't follow the girl, follow Jesus. Wherever Jesus is, you'll have everything that you need. If you're ready and willing to leave everything this year and follow Jesus, I believe he'll do more for you than you've ever seen done before. And I believe that God's preparing some people who are ready and willing to leave everything because they just love Jesus so much. I invite you to stand with me this morning. And nobody's slipping out. Just hang with me. I want to read this word again that the Lord put on my heart. And I want to just make a call that if you are in this place and you could really stand for God to do some more good in your life, as I read, I want to invite you to come and stand at the altar. I just want us to spend a moment together as a church family out of where we normally stand. There's nothing more spiritual about the carpet here than the carpet there. I understand that. But there is something profound about making a decision and setting aside something that you will remember months from now, that you stood at the front of this church and you set your heart on God. You invited him to do more in your life. So I want to invite you, as I read, to just come. You don't have to, but I'm inviting you, if you'll oblige me, to come to the front here. And let's just cram in as tight as we can. 2020 is going to be a year when you do more than you've ever done before. More opportunities realized. More projects completed. More disciples made. More leaders raised. More money coming in. More money going out. More people brought to Christ. More people sent out to the missions field. More scriptures studied. More scriptures lived. 2020 is going to be the year of more. If you have some people in your family or close friends that are sick, can you raise your hand? Okay, let's pray for them right now. Heavenly Father, we lift up those who are sick right now, those who are hurting, Father God, whether it be a serious illness or disease or diagnosis, or whether it be some passing virus or attack on their body. God, we pray right now that you, by your grace, would touch them. Not because they deserve it, but because you're the healer. God, we lift up those who are sick and we ask that your Holy Spirit would touch them and restore strength to their bodies. Anything from fibromyalgia to muscular dystrophy to cancer to allergies and asthma. Lord, we just invite your healing power to touch those in our family who are suffering and just need a touch from you. God, we pray that their healing would bring glory to your name, that it would draw attention to you and not to anything else. Lord, I lift up family members who are hurting right now because of strife, unforgiveness, anger, betrayal. Lord, I ask for healing upon their hearts right now, God. That as painful as physical sickness is, Lord, that the sickness of the heart is far more deep and far more painful. God, we pray right now that you would touch hurting hearts who need to be softened by you, who need to learn how to release forgiveness to those who have spoken against them, God. I pray for restoration in broken marriages right now, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for an increase of joy in every home in this church family. In every marriage, Lord, I pray that there would be more laughter this year. I pray that there would be more shared experiences this year. Father, I thank you for families. I pray, Lord, that there would be more vacations that could be taken this year, Father. That you would provide, Father, the time off and the vacation money so that that some parents in this church could go and just have fun with their kids, God. I pray for great provision, Father, for families. And Lord, I just thank you for every business owner in this church. God, there's so many businesses, Lord, being run by great men and women in this church. We pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom from heaven. Lord, help them to make the right decision. Help them to operate their business with character and integrity. Help them, Father, to employ the right people, Father God, and to be able to be so blessed that they can be a blessing to their employees, God. Help them, Father. Help them, Father. Bless their businesses, God. I thank you, Lord, for every widow. Lord God, your word says that true, pure, undefiled religion is to care for the widows and the orphans. So God, we thank you for the widows and the blessings they are to the kingdom, Lord. We ask, Father, that they would be surrounded by people who love and care and support them, Lord, in this church and in their families. Thank you, Lord, for your hand upon us as a church. And God, we just invite you to come and do more. Lord, whatever you would do, we just invite you. We say, have your way, God. We set our heart and mind upon you. We desire to be diligent, to be good stewards, to be people who seek first the kingdom. But God, we know we won't always get it right, but you'll always be faithful. And so we ask, God, that your mercy would rest upon every house, every family. Lead us, Father. And I pray that this year we would catch people like never before. Help us, Father, to be about building your kingdom and not ours. If you agree with me, why don't you go ahead and say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to have fun this year. I believe it's going to be a good year for you and your household.